It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made. Now that is, I want to stop there and kind of teach for a second. So, without Him, without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. What does that mean? That means He made everything that there was and is to be made. He made it. So in Hebrews chapter 1, you don't have to necessarily turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, it says that He has been appointed heir of what? All things. Through also, He made the worlds. So He's in charge of all things. He made all the worlds, and who being the brightness of His glory, of God's glory, the expressed image of God. And then verse 4 says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. And by Himself, Jesus, He purged our sins. And then He sat down at the right hand of God. And having become so much better than the angels, He has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There is no name that is higher than the name of Jesus. You know, and you go, well, how can I do this with the name of Jesus? You know, when something comes up in your life, all of a sudden, you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do. You just scream out Jesus. I'm serious. There's been several times in my life where I've been, something has come on me, and I didn't know what to do, but just out of my heart, I start screaming Jesus, 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 you know, and whoa, man, like a flood, He comes in. Okay, verse 4, back in John 1, it says, in Him, in Jesus, was the life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Isn't that awesome? The darkness just don't get it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. John was not the light. Okay? That all through him, Jesus, or all through him, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. So, I don't know if you get what's going on here, but he's calling Jesus what? The light, and that darkness cannot overcome. You can't overcome the light. You can't. Okay. So in John 8:12, he says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but have the light of life. So if we follow Jesus. Now, see, there's a difference between following Jesus and knowing who Jesus is. So, okay, you know, I like to use this example. You know, Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks quarterback, well known. Most of you in here know who he is. But all you can be of Russell Wilson is a fan. You don't know Russell Wilson. Well, I saw a picture of his wife. I think they had a child. I don't remember. I seem to remember that. But you know, whatever. He's a quarterback. He's a good one. You know, he's got all kinds of records. You know, he's been an MVP. He's won one or two Super Bowls. So, okay. I have not yet been invited to one of his parties. You know, no, I haven't. You know, so the bottom line here is this. There's a difference between being a fan and a follower. Being a follower of Jesus is not being a fan of Jesus. Okay? So we've been talking about that, you know, the last several months, about knowing God. You know, and then we're getting into the prayer, the model prayer. And when we talk about the Father, you know, I like to refer to God as my Father. Why? Because He is. You know, He's a relational God. He's not just God. He's a relational God. Jesus isn't just, He isn't just the Son of God. He isn't just the Son of Man. Because he says in the Word, he says, I know, I now call you friends. So, if you're my friend, I can talk to you. You can talk to me. And when I talk to you, I don't go, most awesome, greater than the rest of the group, the provider of this and the provider of that. It's like, hey man, how you doing? He's relational. And we should be relational with him. So when we start our prayer, when we begin to pray with him, it's like, Father, yes, he's an awesome God. Yes, he's the creator of all things. Yes, he paints the sky beautifully in the night and beautifully in the morning. He puts the stars in the sky, the moon's up above. All these things are there for us to enjoy. But he's still my father. He's still my daddy. He's still my daddy. And that's how we have to look at him. Because otherwise we get this skewed relationship that he's unapproachable. He is anything but unapproachable. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, he says, they don't put a light, okay, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. They put it on a what? A lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Why would you buy a lamp, turn it on, and stick it under the bed or stick it in a closet? Right? Why would you do that? So why do we do that every day? Go, what? We do that every day. Because is Jesus, are you born again? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. Do you let that light shine? That Jesus is in you? Right? Are you afraid to talk to somebody about, are you afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus? Jesus does something for you? This is what Jesus did for me. I remember when before we got saved, we had this little lady living with us. And Sue's sister was living with us. And anyway, she had this little friend. And all she did was talk about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it was like, would you shut up? Jesus filled my car up with gas. Jesus did this for me. Jesus did that for me. Jesus, it's like, I couldn't even say Jesus. Seriously, I'm not kidding. It was God or Christ. It was so hard for me to say Jesus. It was, Jesus. That was from my upbringing. And then I found out she was a tongue talker on top of it. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, and then she read the Bible too. It's like, oh, get this woman out of my house. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she was instrumental in us becoming born again. She really was. I mean, I was going to church, right? But yet all these things went against my nature because the light wasn't really in me. It was there, but it wasn't in me. Christmas time, people can get really, really, people get really religious when it's not Christmas time. Christmas tree, sometimes people say, well, there shouldn't be a Christmas tree in the church. I mean, I've had people tell me that we shouldn't have a tree in the church. It's sacrilegious. It's a pagan thing. It's like, well, okay, but when I look at it, I go, okay, a tree. I mean, this one's not, but most Christmas trees, they're alive out in the woods or wherever, and they get cut down. Jesus was alive. Jesus was cut down. Right? And then he was raised from the dead. So we take the tree and we raise it back up. And then we decorate it with lights, which is a representative of Jesus. We typically put a star or something on top. It's representative of the angels proclaiming Jesus' birth. What's so sacrilegious about that? It's in how you look at it. It's all in how a person looks at it. I have yet to see somebody kneel down at that tree and worship it. Right? I mean, that's what people seem to think. Well, if you got that tree, you're going to worship it. No, I'm not. I'm not worshiping the tree. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic. Okay? It's alive. It was cut down. It was raised up again. It was covered with lights. It's a symbol of Jesus dying for me. And being raised from the dead. And then becoming a light. Light to us. So if we hide Jesus, the light, then who are we? Are we being a good witness? You know, and we have to take a look at that and consider, am I really ashamed to proclaim Jesus? Is my life a good witness? Is what I'm sharing, are my words grace and edification? Am I really saying and doing what I should be doing? Am I a light? Because see, Jesus in us, we just need to let that light come out of us. And I'll tell you what, just to be honest with you, I'm not being dishonest today, but about me, I'm talking about me. Sometimes that's hard to do. There's people that I don't want my words to be grace and edification to, you know. But he says for my words to be grace and edification. And every now and then I slip up. But here's the beauty of that. All I got to do is say, I am sorry, and ask the Father to forgive me, and he's quick and just to forgive me. You know, nobody said that being a Christian was going to be easy. I don't think it is. It's easy to be in the world. It's easy to do things the world way. You know, but it's not easy to be a Christian. You know, that fallacy that, yeah, once you accept Jesus as Lord, it's all going to be good. You know, well, right. You know, show me a Christian where it's all been good, where there's never been a challenge. You know. Ever since we came here, it's been a challenge. Every week's been a challenge. But we just keep pushing. We keep plugging away. We don't quit. We keep praying. We keep reading. We keep trying to keep our heart right. Keep moving forward. You know, and I look out here today, and I see all of you guys here, and I think, thank you, Jesus. You know, we're still alive. So have you ever been in a totally dark environment? You ever gone into, like, to the Oregon caves, and you go down deep, you get way down in there, and then they turn all the lights off? It's kind of unnerving. You start praying, please, Lord, let that light switch work. Let those lights turn back on. It's dark. You know, and then they light a match, or they probably use a Bic lighter now, I don't know. When I was there, it was a match. You know, how old are you anyway? Yeah. So they would light a match, you know, and all so you could see everybody in the room. You could see the walls. You could see the stalactites and the stalagmites. You could see everything. That little tiny match. That little match. That little match gave off the what? The light. So and that's why we need to let our light shine. Because when you go out of this place, when you go into your business, when you go, you know, maybe when you talk to your neighbors, when you go into a store, is there any darkness out there? You know, it's just dark. You turn on the TV, is it dark? You know, it's just, we turn the TV on less and less and less and less and less and less. You know, there's just not a lot. There just isn't really anything out there to watch. Unless you're watching the Oregon Ducks. You know. Yeah. Or Hallmark. So, you know what? So this year I made an effort. I'm going to cave into my wife. And because she likes, you know, the Hallmark and so on that. Okay, so every day, just at Christmas. So every day I'm going to record a Hallmark movie and we're going to watch it every night. And I, you know, the thing, I knew the plot before it even started, right? I knew what, I knew the clue at the end when we were done. It was started snowing, they were kissing. It was like, okay, we're over. Like, we're, you know, the guy would come in, oh, that's the new boyfriend. That's going to be the old boyfriend, you know, that blah, 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 you know. You know, you know. So after about a week and a half, my wife goes, stop. Like, Jesus is alive. So it's you know, the thing about Hallmark is it's pretty safe, right? Okay, I mean, that's the thing, and it is Christmas Eve and all that stuff. I mean, I think one of those houses have all the decorations that Home Depot and Lowe's and Target and everybody else has. They've bought everything to put it in those houses, you know. But you know what? What do you when you see those pictures on that channel? What do you see? What the you see the lights, right? Lots of lights, tons of lights, you know. And you know, have you ever, you know, when you're out driving around at night and it's dark, you know, do you, you know, have you ever done this? Look at the dark. It's so dark. Look at that. Isn't that something? You know, you go out at night, you know, what do you look at? Oh, look at the dark. We look at the stars, don't we? Why? Because they're light. Nobody likes says points between the stars and say, oh, look at the dark spot between the moon. Right? Have you ever done that?
No.
You know, look at that, you know, oh my, you know. I try to get my wife to come out and look at the stars with me every now and then. She says, oh, they're just little bright things in the sky. That's right, they are. You know, but we like to look at them because they're giving off light, right? Some of those stars that you see out there, or many of them anyway, are millions of miles away. Some are billions of... So that light of some of those that you're seeing can be millions of years old. The light that we're looking at was something that came from millions of years ago, you know, or billions of years ago. You couldn't see the moon if we didn't have the sun, because the sun does not give off its own light, right? It's a reflection of the sun. What did I say? Yeah, the moon doesn't give off. Yeah, thanks. Okay, we'll edit that out. Okay, so anyway, you know, so we're supposed to be the same way. We're like the moon. We reflect the light of Jesus in our life. We want to be out there walking around and people go, oh, look, there's the light. We're talking to our friends. Oh, you're light. You're not dark. Amen? So there's an event that's occurring right now. And I think tomorrow is going to be supposed to be the highlight of what we're calling the Christmas star this year. You know, has anybody seen it yet? I saw it two nights ago, you know. Okay, so well, where is it? Anybody know where it is? Just out of curiosity, you know where to look? Okay, it's in the west sky, right after dusk. Okay, that's where you got to have a good sight of the lower western sky, because right after dark, about an hour or so after dark, it disappears. You know, so I think I saw it was like 5 o'clock. Where's it go? Well, we're not going to do a science lesson right now, but anyway. You know, so light's important to us. Jesus is important to us, right? Have you ever tried crossing a street, you know, with your eyes closed? You know, we couldn't see the projections up here without light, right? You couldn't see my shiny face without the light. You notice John put some lights in so you can see me now. Isn't that nice? Yeah. So, would you trust your life to a blind surgeon? You know, how can you work on your tan at night? You know, if it's just dark. You know, you can't. You know, and how do you pick out a black? So if you have a sock drawer full of brown and black and blue socks, how do you pick out a pair of black ones without light? Can't do it, right? How do you read the instructions without light? How do you look at your iPad or your phone without light? Can you imagine what a trip to the dentist would be without light? You know, this like sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? Yeah. Darkness cannot. It's impossible for darkness to overcome light. It's impossible. Light never dims because of darkness. Darkness dims because of the light. Always. I mean, that's the way it works. So when you walk out of here today, when you go to work tomorrow, and whatever you're doing, you know, are you going to be the light, or are you going to be like the world? We can't be the light and live in the darkness as the darkness, and really say that I'm a Christian. We have to be different. Jesus came. Now, here's a clue, or here's a highlight or note or headline for you. Jesus is no longer the little baby in a manger. Okay? He's no longer on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he sent his Holy Spirit. You know, the same one that hovered over the waters of the earth before God said, what did he say? Let there be what? Isn't that interesting? The first thing he said was, let there be what? Light. Let there be, look it up. Let there be what? Light. See, that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the light. In John 1:5, it said this, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness never will comprehend it. Jesus is that light, and that light is in you, and it must shine through you. It must shine through me in order for us to be a witness to this world and cause the kingdom of God to grow. So if we take our light and we lock it up in a room and never come out, and yet what are we being told today in this nation? Stay home, lock it up. Lock it up. If you lock it up, you can't let your light shine. If you lock it up, you can't be light. You have friends. If you have friends that have COVID, what are you going to do?
Well, it sucks to be you.
No. What do you do? What else do you do? Ask if you can help them. Give them the word. You know, one of my friends is dealing with it. You know, he said, yeah, I think God's trying to tell me something. Right. And what is that? Well, I think I'm getting something. I says, well, what are you getting? Well, I think I'm getting something. I said, well, you know, if God was trying to tell you something, I think he could just tell you. I don't think he'd make you sick. I said, and this man's been a Christian most of his life also. And I said, show me in chapter and verse where he's going to teach you something by making you sick. Where do we get that? You know how we got that? Because pastors couldn't explain why you're not getting healed. And so we come up with an excuse that says, it must be God's will. You never know what God's going to do. Or he's trying to teach you something. I remember my mom pulling that one on me. He's trying to teach you something. I got a temperature of 102, 104, I don't know, something stupid up there. And she's telling me I got this temperature that's high. And says, God's trying to tell you something. I said, well, I can't hear him. He needs to speak up. And I never did hear anything. So he's not trying to teach me something. Amen? So don't you ever use that excuse. And don't, you know, and if somebody says that to you, just ask them to explain that to you. Just ask them to explain it. You know, so what would I do after that was kind of said to me? I said, remember those scriptures I gave you about 2-3 weeks ago on you're healed by Jesus' stripes? You were, which means you are. Remember out of Exodus where he said he sent his word and he healed you? Remember those scriptures? And there was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 others. I sent him a whole bunch. And I said, did you read those? Well, no. Come on, bud. Go read them. You got nothing else to do right now. And that's, see, we're putting the light out there. So what about, you ever wonder about people that aren't saved? That, you know, what about the people that never heard about Jesus? Ever wonder about them? How do they get saved? You know. I mean, is it just by gosh and by golly, or because we were born and yeah, they got the Bible out and we're just the lucky ones? So in Romans chapter 2, I should have turned there, and you should highlight this if you're not aware of it. In Romans chapter 2, I'll wait till you all get there. This is a highlighter. Romans
chapter 2.
Nope, I'm waiting. I like having you in the front row because when I, you know, you find it, we're ready. There you go. No, really. You know what? I mean, most of you know where Romans is, right? We have a new believer, right? So we need to wait for him, right? And don't you ever feel bad about it, brother. Okay? Verse 14. He says, "For when the Gentiles," that's those who were not Jews, "who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." So in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. So in other words, those Eskimos, those Indians, you know, the indigenous people in Africa that never heard the word, God wrote things on their heart. And if they followed what was in their heart, you're going to see them in heaven. So you see, he's got it all covered. He's got it all covered. Or just don't ask me about your dog, okay? So there's six plus billion people in the world, right? 363 million people in the United States of America. And every single one of those people, because of that scripture, have or will have experienced some form of spiritual light. And the decision to do what was on their heart is what determines their eternity. So Jesus is the true light. I mean, he made room for everybody, whether they've heard the word or not. If you've heard the word and rejected it, not good. But if you never heard the word, but you followed what was in your heart, that God put in your heart, you're going to be good. So John 1:9 again, what he read this, he said, "But that was the true light, Jesus, the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So every man that's born, every person that's born, then has light when he comes into this world. And when you have that light, no one, Luke 8:16 says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel and puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see," what? "The light." Isn't that awesome? He's made the way. So God creates every single one of us. You, me, our kids, our friends, the relatives, our neighbors, the potential to embrace spiritual light and truth. It's there in every heart. Every person. All you have to do is make the decision to follow. That's all you got to do. So the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied the coming, you know, of the coming Messiah who would give life and light. You know, there's a lot, so much in Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says, you know, he talks about the, you know, you'll see this on a lot of Christmas cards. You know, "For unto us a child is born." Smith, I'm going to wait. Isaiah 9. You spend a year with me and you're going to know where all the books of the Bible are. You there? Okay, Isaiah 9, verse 6. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government." What's the government? The kingdom of God, right? We've been talking about the kingdom of God, okay? "The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Meanie, Grumpy, Gonna Get You, Keeping Secrets From You, No. Right? He shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase, verse 7, of His government and His peace, there will be no end. Right? And I didn't put the end of verse 7 on there, because it says, from Him until forevermore. It ain't going to end. It's never going to end. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty awesome. You know, with there's a few issues about racism going on in our country right now, right? And I always hear everybody trying to fix it. And, you know, this person tries to fix it. This organization tries to fix it. I tell you what, without Jesus involved, there's going to be no fixing. You know, well, you need to treat me different. No, we all need Jesus is what we need, okay? You know, they're setting up little autonomous zones in different cities around and, you know, building a house with pallets isn't going to work, because it's not built upon the rock. So Charles Colson, I don't know if anybody remembers who he is. He was the president of Prison Fellowship. He was an attorney. He was an attorney and a former hatchet man of Richard Nixon. He committed his life to Jesus after spending time in prison. He tells of receiving a call from Billy Graham. Dr. Graham asked him to go and pray for a new believer, Eldridge Cleaver. He was the Black Panther leader. So with some reluctance, Colson agreed to go have prayer with Eldridge Cleaver. So he asked his friend and his former senator, Harold Hughes, who was also in prison. And he also asked a former prisoner and leader of the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, to meet with them. So the former Ku Klux Klan leader asked Colson if it was okay to meet with the former Black Panther leader. And if you see what's going on here, right? So Colson said Billy Graham had said Cleaver had become a Christian and he believed him. So they met for prayer, and the four of them knelt together and prayed together, seeking God's direction. So we had a Democratic leader, Harold Hughes, a Republican leader, Charles Colson, the Black Panther leader, Eldridge Cleaver, and a former KKK leader united in prayer in a prison cell. Jesus is the hope of all living people. He can bring all of us together. I don't care what your color, I don't care what your race, I don't care. I don't care. Old, young, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Separating churches into the young and the old and the this and the that, that's wrong. We're one body. We're one body. You know, like one teacher I listened to, he says, you know, every church should be three-dimensional. Grandpa, parents, children. And raise that all up together. Well, I don't know if I like that music, or I don't like, it's not about the music. It's about worship. Someone said to me the other day, you know, after I had shared a bunch of things about myself, and, you know, I made the statement, you know, that I have to, a lot of times I have to ask God to forgive me. Sometimes I have to ask people to forgive me, you know, because, you know, maybe I said something that wasn't so good or thought something, whatever. But God, I walk around saying that a lot. Not as much as I used to, but I still do. You know, and so this person that you asked me says, well, how do you think that makes them feel if you tell them that you have trouble and you struggle with things, you know, being a pastor, and, you know, shouldn't you be like perfect? You know, you have that direct line to God, you know, only you and Him, you know, are in connection, you know, and so I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, here's the thing, if I, who spend quite a bit of time in prayer, I, who spend a lot of time reading and a lot of time studying the Word, you know, I do that all week. And if I still need Jesus, then you really need Jesus, right? You know, we really need His help. And you know, and people say, well, I can't do all that you can do. I know you can't do all that I do in those things, but you can do what you can do. You can make room. You can, you know what, you can shut off the TV. you know, for a while. You can wait till you turn it on for a while. You know, you can not, you know, how much time do you spend on Facebook? Go on your phone and check it out. You can look it up. Yes. And you can see how much time you spend on Facebook. Then ask yourself, how much time do I spend in the Word? Because it's the Word that's in you, the light that's in you, that's going to change somebody else's life. Do you hear what I said? It's the light that's in you is what's going to change somebody else's life. It's the light that's in you that's going to cause somebody else to get healed. It's the light that's in you that's going to cause somebody to get delivered. It's the light that's in you that's going to make a difference in this world. But you got to let it shine. You got to pull it out of the closet. You got to pull it out from underneath the bed. You need to set it on it. Set it on the nightstand and say, here it is. Here's the light. Jesus said, he says, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never, never walk in darkness. But they will have the light of life. Again, not a fan of, a follower of. Whoever follows me will never, say this after me, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, that's who you are, church. You're the light of life. You've got it in you. And you go, well, what am I going to say to those people that I work with? Just tell them about Jesus. Jesus loves you. When he answers a prayer or you have a testimony, share it. You know, last week, you know, you weren't all here last week. So last week we received a check, for those of you who don't know. We received a check, the church, for $5,000 from a person that Bill and Dee Dee's working with. And the reason that they gave us the check was because of something we did for Dee Dee years ago. And so they were sharing the testimony. And so they shared the testimony with what we did, what you did, what we did. And then they were, you know, God got on their heart about sending us some money, $5,000. So the moral of that story is a couple things. One, you never know when you're going to receive what you sowed. And two, you can get checks in the mail. Because I'm the one that always says, you're not going to get a check in the mail. You know, and they walked into our house with this envelope. You got a check in the mail. So, okay. And what? And let our light shine. You know? You know, so don't. You know, that was a long time ago. So that was probably 10 years ago, 11 years ago. You know, and so often, you know, we go, you know, well, I paid my tithe this week. I'm going to look in my mailbox, you know. Well, I guess you can look in your mailbox now, you know, but you might want to wait a while. you know, but the thing is like we keep sowing our seed. We keep sowing our seed. We keep sowing our seed. We keep, you know, I'm thinking somewhere it says, you know, cast your bread upon the water, you know. So when the tide's going out, you're throwing your bread upon the water, right? But when it comes back in, guess what? Here it comes. And he says when you sow your when you sow on good ground, he says you're going to get a return, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100. What are you believing for? Well, I'm just believing to get my bills paid. Well, he says 30, 60, and 100. So when I sow the word, I expect a return on what I sowed. Are you good ground? Okay, so see, I should be getting back 30, 60, 100. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about God, His goodness, His graciousness, His grace, His glory. And we should be growing in that. When we sow the word in our heart, and whatever it is I'm dealing with, whatever. If I'm seeking Him with spirit, soul, and body, it's coming back. You know, I bought this. I got me a new Bible. Actually, I've gotten like 4 new Bibles this year. I finally found one that works. The key thing was a font big enough to where I could see it up here comfortably and not lose my place all the time. And the pages are white instead of my other ones have gotten just, you know, kind of gray. They've gotten old. But anyway, so I've been going through my old Bibles and I transfer my highlights to this Bible. And I love doing that. It was like, oh man, I forgot about that. You know, and I was going through Mark, and I kept coming across this word. You should do a search on this word immediately. immediately. In that hour, I go, oh, man. So never. Sometimes we got to work through stuff, but be ready for immediately. Be ready for it. Expect it. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm dealing with this thing. I am really dealing with this thing. You know, and it's been a habit of mine for like 20 years. I'm dealing with it. Anybody got a habit like that? You know, I mean, we probably all do. You know, and we got to wear that coat. You know, we can get lessons on it. You know, and I mean, if we ever like to twist the truth or tell a little white lie, we've been doing it for a long, long time. You know, it's hard to break that baby. But you know what? I heard the minister say this one time. He made a vow to God that because he would like twist things, not quite tell the whole truth, you know. And so he made a vow to God that if he ever did that, he asked him to bring that to his mind, then he would ask for forgiveness right then and there. Think about that. You just lied to somebody. You twisted the truth a little bit. And he goes, tell him you're sorry. Ask me forgiveness. Right? So when you get God involved, the habits will break. It's those little things. It's those little foxes that are out there. And when we start reacting immediately to what he said, he'll start reacting immediately to what you're dealing with. If you're a follower of Jesus, not a fan, a follower. See, we're all different levels in here. I'm at a level, my wife's at a level, Jason's at a level, Steve back there, so good to see you, brother. He's at a level, Bill, Dee Dee, Mary. We're all different levels. But whatever level we're at, he'll respond back to us at that level. And then he'll give us a clue how to take the next step. I look at life as a ladder. We've got to climb up the ladder. It's a journey. And we're just climbing up this ladder. You know, each step gets us a little higher, a little bit closer to Him. So regardless of where you're at today, if you're on the lowest rung of the ladder, oh well. If you're on the highest rung, you're never on the highest rung of the ladder until you get to heaven. But wherever you're at, whatever rung you're on, know that there's another step that you can take. Just don't fall back. Don't take a step backwards. And if you do, go right to Jesus, I am sorry, forgive me, and get back at it. Because he will forgive you. And the beauty about being forgiven, you know, I mean, this is the light of the world. The beauty about being forgiven from him is, see, when you forgive somebody, do you forget? If somebody stole something from you, something big, and then they came to you, and they ask you to forgive them, and you did forgive them, would you like trust them? Probably not. You know, like if they stole a bunch of money from you, you know, would you let them like take over your cash box? You probably wouldn't trust them for a while, would you? But see, the beauty of Jesus is that he says this, when we confess our sins to the Father, that he forgives us. And he throws the memory of it as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know about your compass, but on his compass, that's a long ways. Because the universe is still expanding. So the things that you've been forgiven for are way out there on that horizon of the universe, and it's still leaving, it's still going out, and this one's still going that way. And I remember a few times I went to God, there's things that I have asked him, and he has forgiven me for, and I still bring them up. I do, because I feel so bad about them. And I'll bring them up. God, I'm so sorry. He said, what are you talking about? Oh, you know. You know. But it says he doesn't remember them anymore. Oh, I just can't get that. That's hard to understand. You know, but it is doable. I was in, my wife and I were in counseling one time, and the counselor that we had was bringing up, he knew how to do it. I mean, just a good thing about counselors, man. They know how to get to the bottom of something with a few questions, and they got to the bottom of something about my dad, between me and my dad. He says, well, you need to forgive your dad. You know, okay. And I'm crying and bawling and all this stuff. And so I did. And guess what? I do not, have not, ever remembered what it was. It's doable. That's how he did it for me. So don't say he can't, you know, but I'm just saying he can't.